Our Mother God, podcast episode number one. I'm your host, Lucretia Schanfarber. Our Mother God podcast is simply an exploration of our experience and understanding of God as our mother. Most of us are immersed and indoctrinated with the deity concept and relationship of our Father God, and that's wonderful. And here is something else that is wonderful. We also have a divine mother. Our Mother God is just as real as our Father God, and we are just as connected and are a part of her. It's only been the last few years that I became more curious and eventually embraced our Mother God more than just a concept. I now embrace her and know her as a person, a real, living, breathing, spiritual universe mother, and we are all her children. But few people know about her, and that's what we want to change through our Mother God podcast. Today, on our first Mother God podcast, we'll meet Michelle Klimisch, living in Redding, California. Michelle is president of the Golden Gate Circle Society, former president, secretary general, education committee chair, and secretary of the Urantia Fellowship. She is the founder of the Pipeline of Light. She is a small business owner in California, married with two daughters, the grandmother of three, and she is the author of the book, The Story of Everything. Welcome to our Mother God podcast, Michelle.
Thank you, Lou. I appreciate you inviting me.
Well, it's so meaningful to me that you're our first guest on our first podcast, because you have been an inspiration to me ever since I met you, and I knew I wanted to learn more from you. I wanted to share more with you. I wanted to work on projects with you. And your book, The Story of Everything, I have it here with me right now, and I just want you to know how much I've really enjoyed the book. And I'd love you to tell us a bit about it, how you came to write it, and what it means to you, this book, The Story of Everything.
Well, thank you. That's a fun place to start, because, Lou, I never intended to write a book. I was just trying to understand the Urantia book, which, as you know, is about 100 pages long, 196 separate chapters. We call them papers. And it's just such a rich and thick and intricate and complex volume of the information. Is just so hard to keep track of. So I was trying to simplify it so that I could understand it better. And there was a couple named Wayne and Ute Ferrier who started an online study group. And they proposed that we all kind of write a little synopsis of a paper, and then we get together online and study and compare. And that study group lasted for about 10 weeks, I think. We got through about 10 papers, and one by one, all the people that had started dropped out of the study group, and I was the only one left posting my papers and waiting to talk to people about it. So I just felt like I'm just going to keep doing it, because it was valuable to me to try to kind of condense these enormous concepts into something that my mind could hold on to more readily. So I kind of got in the habit of posting online every week. And when I got to maybe 40 or 50 papers, about a quarter of the way through the book, people started saying, you know, I'm giving these to my teenage kids who keep asking me, what about this book I'm reading, but it's too... it's really kind of too difficult for them to wade through. Or I've shared this with my mom because she wants to know what I've gotten myself into with this Urantia book thing I keep talking about, but she doesn't really like to read. And so this is I've been sharing these with her. It helps her understand what the Urantia book says about this and that. And I had an interesting talk one day, Lou, with my dad, who there's a section, there's a paper that talks about the Paradise Trinity. And I said, I just have never understood the Paradise Trinity. How can God be one but be three at the same time, but it's only one? How could it be monotheistic if there's three members of the Trinity? And my father explained that to me. He said, I've never had trouble with the Trinity because I am my mother's son, I am your mother's husband, and I am your father. I'm three people, but I'm only one person. Oh, he talked about it as if it was relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So the book started out as just me studying these concepts from the Urantia book, and I was just trying to understand it so I could hold on to the thoughts about them a little bit better, kind of make them fit into my mind better.
Mm-hmm.
But it opens up a lot of conversations with people.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you've done a remarkable job.
So eventually it turned into a book.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, thank you. At some point, a publisher said to me, you should make this into a book. I said, no, I'm not writing a book. I'm just trying to understand. She goes, no, you should. And she helped me. So Saskia Rigori from Square Circles Publishing put it into book form for me, got it all formatted and published. And that's kind of how that book came about.
Well, and it's a classic. I mean, it really
is
a book you can open anywhere and find great value. So yes, I won't say condensed, but I think, I guess it's a bit of a condensed version. You've
mm-hmm.
taken the Urantia book,
mm-hmm.
which is almost 2,100 pages, and created the story of everything, which is 280 pages. And in the story
mm-hmm.
of everything, and this also relates to that lovely story you just shared about how your father helped you to understand the concept of the Trinity,
mm-hmm.
Three persons in one through relationship, him as a son, him as a father, him as a brother. I mean, it's really all about relationships. The Urantia book is
Mm.
really focused on that. But there's one relationship that you and I both, Michelle, have realized is very much lacking on our planet, which is, according to the Urantia book, named Urantia. That's what the Urantia book is the Earth book. And that is... on Urantia, we have a very dominant concept of God as our father. And in the Urantia book, which purports to be a revelation to our planet, the fifth epical revelation to our planet, we are introduced to our mother God. How has that shifted things for you? How has your understanding of God as our mother evolved and shifted things in your life?
Boy, that's a good question. I will say I was perfectly happy with Jesus for a long, long time. The relationship of God and God the Father was sort of a remote being, but obviously had organized this entire universe. And then understanding who Jesus was really helped me kind of bring it closer to me. But the Urantia book, talking about God, our mother, and when you understand every gift that she provides for us, it's so, to me now, even for maybe the last 10 years or so, it's been, that's my primary relationship with God. I literally think we are living in the womb of God, the mother, the creative mother spirit of the local universe. And to me, that means I'm embryonic spirit living in the womb of my mother God, and she provides everything for us. So in a sense that it seems like it's morphed in my world from when I was a young child, it was God, was someone who kind of watched me when I was being naughty, almost like Santa Claus, just someone you have to mind your P's and Q's or else. And then Jesus brought God closer into my heart. So I really felt loved by the spirit, the spiritual resources that we have at our disposal, those relationships that we have. But it's God the Mother that's my mainstay now, because I realize She's here with us. She's physically present with us every moment, every breath. She provides our breath of life. She provides the minds and the bodies that we're using. And we'll talk more about other gifts that she's given, I'm sure. But to me, right now, in this last 10 years or so of my life, the Mother God relationship has been my primary sustenance from the spirit world. And I just can't even, you know, I could go on for the whole time about it. So I think that's enough for now.
So perfectly shared. Thank you. So beautifully poetic. And, you know, I sense, and I know from our past discussions, Michelle, that you also feel that there's a shift happening on our planet and an acceleration of our longing to be connected to our mother. For many people, that starts as our Mother Earth, our Mother Nature. And what one of the things we've discussed and that I love to discuss, so here we go, is our mother as our universe. And people are becoming more and more comfortable, I've noticed, say, in the last 10, maybe 15 years, talking about a relationship with the universe or our universe. And, you know, you hear phrases like, oh, well, you know, the universe provides, or I asked the universe to reveal to me, or I asked the universe to support me in this endeavor. Do you think that that sort of language, reflective of consciousness, is indicative of our starting to perceive our Mother God more and more on our earth?
You know, you pointed that out to me, that when you had said something along the lines that when people are speaking about the universe providing for me, they really don't realize it perhaps yet, but they're talking about their mother is providing for them. And that's exact. I've seen it so many times since, and I really think you're onto something with that observation, Lou, because even my daughter recently, in the last 2 months, has started saying, Mom, the universe has been talking to me all this time, but I didn't realize it. And I thought of you when she said that, because she understands there is spiritual sustenance all around us, constantly being provided for us if we only take note, right? And so the idea that our mother is the local universe, pervading the local universe, our first contact really with spiritual reality is our mother, even biologically as human animals. That's the primary first relationship that branches out to all other relationships. And so it is in the spirit world. Our relationship with our mother provides all, and all that we need to make the journey and start our path to paradise. So yes, 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 yes. You were really on to something, and I've noticed it so much since you first mentioned that to me, Lou. So thank you for that. And so sweet to hear my daughter saying it. And there it is, happening in my own life.
Well, one of the reasons that I love having these kinds of conversations with you, Michelle Klemisch, is that you know, we act as catalysts for one another. And in our spiritual growth, we really need each other. And there is this growing sisterhood. You know, the Bible, the Urantia book, the word brotherhood is front and center. And yes, we're taught that it's a ubiquitous term for brothers and sisters. But there's something powerful about the word sisterhood, and while we all are a part of the family of God our Mother, God our Father, God our universe, there's something uniquely, what is the word, invigorating, enlivening, enlightening about recognizing the way that we women are connected through our sisterhood. Can you tell me a little bit about that experience for you and how the sisterhood also relates to our Mother God and our awakening to our Mother God on our planet?
I love this topic. So to me, sisterhood is so nourishing and nurturing, and it just feels like love. In a room full of women, it feels so safe and so warm and so alive and so supportive and so nourishing to me. And you have to guess that that feminine energy we feel, we as sister friends feel together, is something that's teaching us a little bit of something, pointing a direction in our minds about who our mother is, who our Mother God is. The way women naturally are with each other, when we just come together and let our hair down and spend some time together away from the rest of the world, it's one of the greatest joys for me, spending time with women and talking about our spiritual growth together. We tend to be nurturers. We tend to care for people. And when women get together caring for each other, it's just the most lovely thing. And I think we really have to guess that we can learn a lot about what are the feminine aspects of deity, what feminine God energy is like, from observing women in their own element. And I have a big, the bracelet I wear on my wrist always, always, just has one word on it, and it's balance. And it has to do with, I really feel that there's a lot of feminine energy is not being well used yet on this planet. It's been suppressed, it's been oppressed, it's been dismissed, it's been diminished. But when we get together, women are so powerful and so loving and so nurturing and so healing to each other. And we're able to be stronger because of our relationships with each other. And in the relationships we have with each other, we are learning who our mother is as well, because we are her daughters. Mm-hmm. We are her daughters. So my big goal in life for the next 30 years or however much time I have left on this planet is somehow to move us closer to the equality between the balance. The word on my bracelet is balance, because balance between the feminine and masculine energy. We need masculine energy. We need feminine energy. And our planet's been kind of steeped too long in the aspect of almost primarily masculine systems. And we can talk about that. I've been digging into that a lot of research lately on how we lost our Mother God. How did that happen? And what have we lost when we lost that feminine aspect of deity? And what does our Mother God provide for us that this world could desperately need right now, could use mm-hmm. right now? Mm-hmm. So there's us being together as sisters is a real clue about how Mother operates in the universe, I think.
Thank you. So. Thank you. That is a beautiful picture, a beautiful summation. And while we may have lost her, she has never lost us. And that is the most wonderful feeling.
<That's true.
laughs> you describe quite beautifully at the beginning of this conversation, you were happy with Jesus. You weren't necessarily looking for Mother. I'm remembering that delightful children's book. Do you remember that? Are You My Mother? That little children's book is it a little duck or some little creature wandering around looking? Are you
all the other creatures?
Are you? Yes.
To be a mother.
And in many ways, Jesus has been our mother. But in the teachings of the Urantia book, it's revealed that they are not one and the same. They are co-creators, co-creative partners. Mm-hmm. They are the father and mother of our local universe. And whatever a person's cosmology is, whatever spiritual teaching that they derive the most comfort and growth from, I do find that this teaching in the Urantia book really balances, there's your word, my dear, really balances what has been a largely patriarchal impression of God as one being, first of all, one father. The Urantia book brings in mother, equal to father, our mother spirit, our father spirit. And I, you know, I just am amazed that it's really, for me anyway, only been maybe the last 10 years that I've awakened to her. So, you know, this is why I say I may have been lost, but she never lost me. And you know, we are just awakening to her presence, which is a beautiful time on our planet. How do you think that this awakening of our spiritual sisterhood, of our literal sisterhood, our awakening of being daughters of our mother, father, God, how do you think this can change the world?
Oh my gosh. So how
boom.
Much time does that
have? Just drop that on you there. Just a little question.
I've been thinking about this so much right now. The idea of, first of all, maybe 4,000 or 5,000 years ago, when there was mother goddess worship and people understood that the earth was their mother and they were born of a mother, and there was really a lot of acceptance of the fact that God is our mother, but it became suppressed at some point. And I think we're still trying to work our way back to, even though half the human race is female and half the human race is male, almost every system we live in is a male created system. In our lifetimes, you know, it's been thousands of years since many of the Western cultures have lost mother from some time ago. So I've been doing a lot of studies on this lately, Boo. And my feeling is this: there's so many clues about how the world would be different, how we could solve some of the problems that we've, no matter how hard we pushed, some of these problems that we're facing seem intractable. The level of poverty that still exists on a planet that's got so much natural resources and wealth, even in a country like ours, if you're in the United States, if you're in Canada, in North America, we're fairly wealthy, you know, economies, but the economies are distributed so unevenly. Why is that? In a feminine world, the economy would not play out where the top dog takes all the prizes and the peons stay down at the bottom. Women don't live in these pyramid-type shapes. And I'm not saying that's bad or good. I'm saying that's why balance is my thing. If we had, there's so many clues, like in Iceland, they had this huge banking crisis back, oh gosh, 10, 15 years ago, where the only bank in Iceland that did not go bankrupt was the only bank that was run by a woman. Because, I can't even explain it. There's some sense of, we look out for each other. We are, as the nurturers, we're interested in taking care of our children. We're interested in taking care of our neighbors. We're interested in taking care of the planet. We're interested more in environmental things. Realizing that the resources that have been provided for us by the universe, they're not ours to destroy or to just use up and leave nothing behind for the next generation. We're interested in our own children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. We have links from our grandparents and the knowledge that our grandmothers gave us that we're providing to our grandchildren. Some of the solutions to the problems that the world is facing today, greed, the poverty, the disease, the incessant warfare, why are we using violence as a method of problem solving? You would hope by now in our civilization we would have moved past warfare as a problem-solving mechanism, but we haven't. In the United States, discretionary spending is almost two-thirds of it's going to war, to the military. And I guarantee you that if women were running the United States economy and political taxation dollars for the last 200 years, we wouldn't be spending two-thirds of our discretionary budget on military stuff. Well, some of the problems that we have to solve can only be solved, I think, if we start having this more, a mass infusion of feminine energy, and that understanding that our Mother God inspires us. When you pray to Mom, she will teach you everything you're able to hear, everything you're able to absorb. A lot of the problems that don't seem possible to solve actually are quite solvable, but you have to come from a back door. You have to come from a different side of the coin. You have to come perhaps from the feminine perspective. And I'm not saying we don't have problems on the feminine side and that men are causing all the problems, but I am saying the imbalance where you don't choose from all these solutions that are possible because you're so bent on that one drive that we seem to have gotten ourselves in this patriarchal mode that is not serving us really well anymore, and the planet is suffering and the people are suffering. So her inspiration is something that is sorely needed on the planet right now. So I'm highly motivated to spread the word about it's so easy to make contact with a mom, that our Mother God is with us every moment in our gravity, in our breath, in our heartbeat. There's no place we can be, no cell of our body that is not connected to Mother. And she's a wonderful source of advice if we only stop and listen. So,
women have been shut out of ecclesiastical work. They've been shut out of religious leadership, which has, you know, created the monster religious organizations that we see now that really are not they are not following the mandates and teachings of their originators, whether it be Jesus or Buddha or Islam. You know, we seem to we definitely need this balance. I'm so glad that that word is on your wristband at all times. You know, when you say balance is my thing, and then you talk about the ways that the world, our world, could become a much more balanced world where we could live, all of us, a life much closer to Mother Nature through embracing more of a feminine deity understanding and relationship. I really love that. Yes, our Mother God is our breath of life. The Arantia book reveals she is literally the giver breath of life. She's the source of our mind. Can you talk a little bit about how you understand both of those concepts? I mean, the gravity concept is so phenomenal in itself. I guess, you know, gravity, breath, mind. I mean, these are aspects of living that we just take for granted, but yet she
take for granted.
Our Mother God. Yes, we do take her for granted. I think in many ways she wants us to, but I think she also wants to know us and we need to know her. So our Mother God as the breath of life, our Mother God as the source of mind, tell us how that actually is something that we can remember and utilize and appreciate, and maybe through practice, spiritual practice. Tell us more about how that is a part of your life, Michelle.
Thank you. I want to start with mind, because cosmic mind, it was in the Arantia book that I learned that our minds are gifts from our mother. It's mother who provides our mindedness. I had no idea about that. I never thought about where my mind came from. But she must be somebody quite amazing if she's able to provide mind to every creature in the universe. So that's something from the Arantia book that was always really struck me as quite powerful and profound. But more to your point, we could talk about breath and to me, gravity. The way I connect with Mom most in my spiritual life is like right now. You can feel gravity touching you. You can feel gravity holding you, whether you're sitting or standing or lying or kneeling or handstanding, whatever it is. That connection that you have with the gravity of the earth is, that is your connection with Mother. That is your system that Mother has created that we live in, this system where this, why when this earth spins around, do we not all go flying off by the centrifugal force? You know, when you're a child, you're thinking about all these things and you wonder, but for me, understanding that when I connect with Mother, I feel her through gravity on whatever part of my body is in contact with the ground. And so when I feel the gravity touching my, you know, flesh vehicle that we're all running around in, that's my connection with Mom. That's part of my spiritual grounding. It feels to me like she is our support and she is our provider. And it's exactly how you described it too. She provides so much for us, we take it for granted. Mother energy from God feels to me more like if it was taken away, that's when you would most notice it. And as long as she's providing it, we are free to go about our daily lives and ignore her if we want to. But it's really, it's short-sighted of us, or maybe just ignorant of us if we do such a thing. The idea of breath also is one of those things that connects us to Mother, because you think she provided the lungs and she provides the oxygen. She provides the lungs and the oxygen that keep me alive, that keep the oxygen in my bloodstream. She provided the heart that beats. You know, if we think about it, everything we have, I've asked people this, Lou, you know, well, where do you think you came from? Well, my mom and my dad got together. Yeah, but see, where did your mom and dad come from? And where did, you have to keep going back. Somewhere, somehow, this began. We exist. And once you become conscious of your consciousness, it's just a tiny step further to realize, wow, all the gifts that we've been given, we're taught to look at our body and say, oh, my knees are too knobby. Oh, my hair is too straight. Oh, I have too many freckles. Oh, I'm too fat. Our bodies are miracles, absolute miracles, and they're gifts from Mother. They're gifts from our Mother. They're actually gifts from our Earth Mother as well. So when you look at life that way, if you can't even walk down the hallway, as who is the Buddhist monk, the Vietnamese Thich Nhat Hanh, who says, every step you take, if you're kissing the earth, every step you take, you're using the feet your mother gave you to walk your way through life. We really have to look at every breath as if it was the miracle that it is. Mm-hmm. And every step we take as the miracle that it is. And the gravity beneath our bodies as the miracle that it is, providing for us that security and that safety we have to go about our days and do our important things that we must do. You know, we have our to-do list. But really, we it's so lovely to stop and remember every gift that she's providing for us every moment of every day that we live here.
Yes, and I'm doing that in this mm-hmm. moment. My feet mm-hmm. are firmly on the ground, yeah. feeling gravity. Mm-hmm. Every breath I take. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Real reminders. And I also want to honor our Father God. We are not having this discussion, Michelle, because we want to exclude our Father God. It's because we mm-hmm. want to include our Mother God. And our Father God mm-hmm. has so long been the only spiritual focal point, the only heavenly parent, the only mm-hmm. the mm-hmm. only spiritual creator, and to recognize that we are a two-parent family is such a beautiful expansion. Yeah.
That doesn't make sense.
Such a beautiful expansion of any good news, no matter how you frame mm-hmm. it, mm-hmm. all spiritual mm-hmm. news is good news. And, mm. you know, it's just so wonderful Talk about our Mother God and normalize her presence. You know, and we've had these conversations for several years. It's so lovely to have this first podcast with you, Michelle. Thank you so much. I know that the shift in our language, not just your language and my language, but our planetary language, our planetary consciousness. For so long, we say, you know, God, He, God, our Father. Mm-hmm. For us to now embrace and include God, She, God, our Mother God, mm-hmm. is such a balance in and of itself. And moving in the world, more and more people, especially women, are talking about our Mother God, are using this shift in language. How is that shift in language affecting you and the people you are talking with and communicating with and writing to?
You know, we have a study group, a local study group where we, for the Urantia book, because people do like to get together and dig into this material. And a long time ago, I don't want to say super long, but maybe 10 or 12 years ago, we started saying he and she. We started alternating in the text, because when you hear someone say, I love God so much, she's given me so much, you hear her spoken of in the feminine, that God is as she or her goodness, or it's something for women we haven't experienced. I'm in my late 60s now. All my life, God was a man. God was male. He was a he was a him. And it excludes us. And I didn't realize how much I was a daughter of God, but I was thinking, you know, in my 20s, I'm a daughter of God. I'm God, daughter of God the Father. Where did mom go? Where did the Mother God go? See? So when finally we are introduced to God as our Mother God, you finally realize where your place in the universe is. So in our study group, we've gotten really good when it says, talks about men, we say men and women. And I really think this, Lou, and I've had some people laugh about it, but I think I'm right, and I'm not trying to be funny. If you want an inclusive word, if you say mankind, right, that's supposed to be men and women, but it's really not. The only word that would be most inclusive is to say womankind, because the word woman actually has the word man embedded in it. Men are actually included in the word women. But women are not actually included in the word man. So I think we should call it womankind, and men should just realize. And it would be fun for a year if we had a year of every place where it says the word man, we put the word woman. Every place where it says God the Father, we said God the Mother. That the male sex, the half of the human population that is male right now, would get a sense of what we have all experienced growing up in this world that only talks about God as a man. Or spiritual beings as male. And they would start to understand why inclusivity is so important. Because a lot of women have been sort of divorced from the religious process, even though we know that the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. In the Urantia book, they say, the hand that rocks the cradle fraternizes with destiny, I think is how they say it. But the point is, women are already so connected to spirit. Because the spirit being that is most accessible to us at this low level of development, as we are as human beings on this planet, is our Mother God. I think of God the Father as like the sperm that comes and impregnates, and God the Mother. You know, we have two parts of our beings, each one of us as human beings. We have that spark of the Father God, that thought adjuster that they talk about in the Urantia book, that fragment of God that inspires us from within. But everything else comes from Mother. And so we are literally the spirit embryos of a loving father and mother. We are part of this enormous spiritual family. And I think when women start understanding that the knowledge of our Mother God has been intentionally suppressed for some reason that, you know, historians can argue about if they want, but we just need to bring her back into awareness among all of our sisters and brothers who will certainly be nurtured. You know, Lou, we have a friend named Kurt who talks about rope, the religion of personal experience. And when he understands about mother, what he understands about mother is the rope to mother is the umbilical cord that we all have to the universe. And I think that's a lovely way of thinking about it. There's a rope that comes down from paradise that we are climbing and we have to exert energy to get to. But we have the umbilical cord, that rope that brings us to our mother, that provides all the sustenance and the nourishment and the encouragement that we need to gird our loins to do that climb to God the Father in paradise. So it's a two, yeah. It's a two-member family for sure. And if you think about anything in biology, there are amoebas, I think, that just split. But usually in an animal kingdom, you have two parents, one mm-hmm. male and one female.
Right.
And
well,
and
it's a two.
That's the pattern of the universe.
It's a two-parent family with billions mm-hmm. of members in the family.
Trillion.
Well, yeah, when you include the angels,
we tried to count them once. Remember,
right? The angels. I know this is a topic near and dear to your heart. The mm-hmm. Urantia Book mm-hmm. teaches that, and many other teachings teach about the importance of angels in our lives, the closeness, mm-hmm. the intimacy of the relationship that we could have with them, they definitely have with us. Tell me a little bit about how you feel and experience angels and how they are a part of this ministering system of love and support that our Mother God provides to us.
Mm-mm-mm. Well, that's a whole subject we could do a podcast on for about 10 sessions. The angels, who are the children of Mother, and she's provided literally trillions and trillions of angels that work on our behalf to help us grow spiritually. And they teach us how these spiritual solutions to our human problems, they work with us on a daily basis, if we will allow them to solve some of the things that we find thorny difficulties, that that angels are truly our friends and our guides, and they love us, and they there are some people that I've known who are really clear on, they feel angel intervention as they come to a crossroads. And there was always some spiritual help with us when we have to make a decision. If we lay it down and ask for help, ask for spiritual guidance, we will get it. We will get spiritual guidance. And the angels, it's kind of mysterious to me how they operate. You know, we have this image in the Western world, at least, that angels are these beautiful with flappy wings and full of feathers. And, you know, that there's just this sort of creative license, artistic license that people have. So the most predominant image of angels is that winged, you know, person who can do miraculous things. But really, angels are much closer to us than that. They're not some strange hybrid creature. Their mother is the same as our mother. The angels in our local universe are also sprung from our Mother God here in the local universe. And literally, trillions and trillions and trillions of angels are at the disposal of the beings, of the human creatures in this universe that are trying to help us move up into each next level of spiritual understanding and spiritual sustenance. And they are not only our loyal friends and guides, but they're also, how can I say it? They don't actually work for us. They work for God on behalf of God with us, because God is interested in us, and the angels are as close as a spiritual being can get almost to a human being. So they empathize with us, they delight in our progress, and we could all, it would be advantageous to all of us to spend some more time meditating on what kind of situations are the angels here to help us with, and how can we help them get that work done?
I love it. And how can we help our angels, you know, while they are helping
us? We
could
cooperate with them.
Yes, exactly. We could cooperate. We start by appreciating, acknowledging their presence. They work mm-hmm. as a pair, mm-hmm. a complemental pair. And, you know, just recognizing that they are with us at all times, that they are the daughters of our Mother God, and that mm-hmm. she mm-hmm. is providing them to us as we are on our spiritual journey, but also our physical pathway. You mentioned mm-hmm. some people mm-hmm. actually feel that, you know, that they help them at literal crossroads in life. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's so great to remember that we do have these unseen friends, these angelic helpers. They're not indwelling us the way that the Spirit of God our Father does. They don't necessarily mm-hmm. In mind us. We are not mind circuited mm-hmm. by them the way we are encircuited in our mother's mind. She's not only the source of our, she's not only providing the mindedness, she's actually the source of our, of the mm-hmm. minds that we have here. And just, you know, this sense of spiritual community in our lives. And now mom is back, you know, like here she is. How she was never gone. We just in mm-hmm. our planetary culture, you know, lost our sense of her. And that's what this podcast is about. It's about sharing our experiences and our appreciation for our Mother God. And I thank you so much for being such an integral part of this inaugural podcast, Michelle. And you know, I just can't thank you enough for everything that you do bring to the spiritual economy on our planet. I know in your work with girls through your gym, mm-hmm. you were always encouraging and empowering girls and young women and women of all ages to find not only their balance, but their strength. And I know that is really grounded in your love of our Mother God. So thank you for being with us. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We only have another few moments.
Thank you for inviting me.
Always. We have a few moments. I'd love to just hear you riff on what's next in your life as you move forward in the embrace of our Mother God. What do you feel and see? It doesn't have to be anything specific or goal-oriented, mm-hmm. but how do you see yourself moving forward in the embrace of our Mother God, Michelle?
The thing I'm working on most right now, Lou, is to remember to ask her for guidance, because she's very faithful about that. And after all this time, I spent probably 40 years just, I'm going to use my own brain to figure these problems out. And I have a good brain, but it's nothing compared to the brain that created, the mind that created the entire universe, right? We have this spiritual help, and I want to spend much more deliberate time connecting with Mother and asking the angels and Mother for the advice that gets me where they want me to be, where I could be most useful, and my second focus right now is to sort out, in a simplification process, to essentially, and I think this has been the blessing of the last year and a half or so for the whole world, really. We've had this opportunity to watch when they say, when all things earthly crash, you know, to a kingdom-loving believer, what does it matter if all things earthly crash? And we've come close in some people's lives of that, you know, where you really stop and take an assessment of where are you in your life and where do you want to be of service, and asking Mother where the highest service is, where the best and most joyful service that she would like me to be a part of. And I really think it goes back to the bracelet on my wrist. It's bringing the world into some more balance. In there's so many avenues for that to be happening, but into balance so that the men and women are working together on behalf of our Father God and our Mother God to bring this world to a little bit higher level every day that we all live together here, you know, to appreciate what we have and to move it forward. So I just feel like Mom is on the move. I think I've heard you say that before. But our Mother is really, it's an inexpressible feeling in each of our hearts that needs to be expressed. We can't just leave it in our own hearts. We need to start bringing it out into the world. And I think you see it happening in spiritual groups, in social groups, in religious groups, in educational groups, in political realm, in industry. We are seeing Mom on the move. I read a book recently called Donut Economics, and it's a female version of economics that's completely mind-blowing. And it makes so much sense to me, maybe because I'm a woman, but how the wealth needs to be shared in a sustainable way, and we would all prosper. We all should be prospering. Mom does not want any child to be left behind. Any human person should not be left out of the equation. We're all in it together, you know? So how do we bring that about where we have a more humane world, a more balanced world, a more mother-centered world? So there's a lot of opportunities.
A lot of opportunities, indeed. Thank you, Michelle. Thank you, angels. Thank you, our Mother God. Thank you, our Father God. We rest in...
Thank you, Lucretia.
My honor. My honor. We rest in her embrace. She holds space for us every moment. She holds us in her arms, in her embrace. Thank you for being with us, Michelle. And thank you, listeners, for joining us for the first podcast of Our Mother God. Please check in regularly. There'll be more coming. We'll talk again soon. May our Mother God bless you. Bye-bye.